Support for GLT's Grow comes from Wendell Niepegan Greenhouses, a huge selection of plants, gardening tools, and lawn and garden advice at Wendell Niepegan's on Fox Creek Road in Bloomington, where you're more than a customer, you're a friend. Details at niepegans.com. This is GLT.
One of the best things about this time of year, harvesting tasty things to eat. I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert in the field from the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences. His name is Patrick Murphy. Hello there, Murph.
Thanks for having me, Laura.
Glad to have you here today on GLT's Grow. We're talking about fall fruits, what to plant, and preserving the goods. So give us some ideas about wonderful fall fruits.
Fall is the bounty time. And there's nothing like the feeling of security that comes from having lots of stuff to eat.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So I was going to kind of let you know what some of my favorite fall fruits were and the good news that went along with it.
Yeah.
So let's just march right down the list. It's not an alphabetical order, but it does start with apples.
You okay? Betcha.
Pears.
Mm-hmm.
You got your cane fruits.
Cane fruits? What are those?
Raspberries and blackberries.
Blackberries. Love them.
Grapes. Table grapes. I don't want to... I'm not trying to persuade people to start making their own wine. It's a great vocation, but table grapes are a lot easier.
Concord grapes. My grandmother used to make preserves from those.
Superior grape. That's right. You got your currants and your gooseberries, and then we round it all out with the pumpkin. I always thought the pumpkin should be the nation's vegetable.
Really? But it's a fruit because it has seeds in it.
Okay.
Well, okay.
I stand corrected.
All right,
I stand
then. Corrected. Whatever.
So the good news about the trees on this list, mainly the apples and the pears, you can incorporate these into your garden now, because it's a great time to plant.
Yes.
And there's some bargains to be had out there. You might be able to find a good deal on something that's been sitting around in the nursery since Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Give it a good work over, good look over.
Would it be healthy?
Yeah, if you give it a good look over. And we can talk about that sometime. There's ways to tell.
Okay.
If that soil was so dry at one time that it shrank in the pot.
Okay.
That's the thing to look for. There's a little water line on the inside of the pot showing that the water shrank or that the soil shrank from lack of watering. That's the main thing you want to avoid on these potted trees.
So if you find some good ones, now's a good time to get them in the ground.
That's right. And then here's another thing. A lot of the varieties that we love can be found in dwarf stock. And so these are grafted trees a lot of times that are on a different kind of rootstock that allows for the dwarfing. I always like to talk about the stark fruit trees, which are a lot of times this stem. It's a stem with short little spur-like branches, and the fruits are born close to the stem. So it's a bunch of apples on a stick.
Do the apples make the stick bend?
No, that's the beauty of it.
Cool.
Those little short spur branches are really strong, you know. They look like grandpa's fingers, the big fat knuckles and the big collars on there. And it holds up the weight of 2, 3, 4 apples. So they're great if you're container gardening on your garage rooftop, or you got the tiny little balcony garden, or you've only got room for like 60 square feet of gardening on the ground, you can still have these plants in your garden without turning it into a shade well.
That's a brilliant idea.
Yeah, I think it is too. And I think that those dwarf stock fruit trees are sometimes underappreciated, and you oftentimes see folks plant them out in the middle of this big stand of open area. That's great because fruit trees and these fruit-bearing plants, they all love lots of sunlight, but they're never going to get the size of Grandpa or Uncle Carl's fruit trees. They're not going to be small shade trees. They're going to be much smaller
trees.
They're
the trees of the future.
That's right, trees of the future. And we all know that apples and pears are delicious, so we'll come back to that.
Yes.
We got our cane fruits. We mentioned raspberries and blackberries. You can plant them now. You can also plant them in the spring.
Okay, that's good flexibility.
There's some work involved in having cane fruits.
Yes.
There's some work involved. Blueberries, an excellent plant to add to our landscape now or in the spring. Beautiful white berries are followed by the blueberries. Blueberries are like a lot of other bushes that come in different shapes and sizes, like us people do. We all come in different shapes and sizes. So you can get those blueberries added into your landscape for an edible landscaping feature.
You're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty. This week, fall fruits. And it's not only fun to plant them, but it's fun to harvest them and then preserve them.
That's right. And so after you add some blueberry bushes to your landscaping, consider adding some table grapes. The Concord grape is a proven winner.
It's delicious. You can eat it raw, but it does make a really great jelly. My grandmother will attest to that.
And you can mix it with some of the other things that we're going to talk about in the preservation process
yeah.
and create something wonderful. Currants and gooseberries are some of the easiest fruits to grow, but there's a catch.
Yes.
They are a host to white pine blister, and that's a serious business because white pine are one of the few native evergreens we have to enjoy here. If you have that white pine on or near your property, you want to think about adding the currants or gooseberries to another piece of property
okay.
that you may own.
Okay. Or and don't then, add the white pine. If you don't have it, don't get it.
Yeah, if you have white pines, you're taking a risk by adding the currants and the gooseberries, but you can always follow up with some pumpkins.
Okay.
You know, pumpkins are underappreciated, I think, in some regards. Right here in Morton, Illinois, here in the Midwest, Libby has extensive pumpkin plots. You know, I always think it's interesting to see those white pumpkins out there.
Yes.
But the inside is orange, just like we expect.
Oh, wow.
So those are the ones. The pumpkins, they need a lot of space to grow. If you have a couple of plants, you get a couple of pumpkins. If you get a bunch of plants, you get a bunch of pumpkins. So therein lies the burden, right? So if you have one apple tree and it's filled with apples, can you eat them all before they go rotten? Probably not.
No.
Probably not. So we need to think about how we're going to save them. And the typical way to do that is with freezing.
Yes.
Or canning. And you can freeze something and then can it later if you really wanted to.
All right.
You know, if you knew that there wasn't going to be any electricity next year or something like that, you could go and can everything that was in your freezer.
Yeah.
But freezing all of the things that we've talked about requires a 3 to 4 inch deep container for freezing, or as the big Ziploc freezer storage bags, which they aren't that thick because you don't want more than 3 or 4 inches of depth because the weight of the fruits will crush themselves.
Oh.
And then you've got this mess.
Mess.
And it's related to another detail. And when it comes to the blueberries, the grapes, the currants, all these berries that you're going to freeze.
Yeah.
It is recommended that you clean them, but by cleaning them, I mean remove the stems and the leaves and...
Don't wash them?
Don't wash them.
Okay, good
point. Just do a dry cleanup, cool them, because, you know, you're going to pick them and it's going to be outside and bring them in, let them assume
chill.
Room temperature, right.
Just let them chill.
So, and then you can freeze them. Then you can freeze them after they've dried and they've been in the house on a counter. Maybe they've been out on cookie sheets are great for laying everything out flat and drying mm-hmm. it so they don't touch. The hazard in washing them before you freeze them is a lot of times your bounty, your produce, will absorb some of that water that you're trying to use to wash them off.
Mm-hmm.
And then they will rupture when they freeze, or you get this mash of unwanted liquid with the fruit juice in it. You can wash these off after they have thawed before you consume them.
Good.
So we don't have to take any chances on food safety. Now, when we're going to can anything, and I want to talk about canning the pumpkins because they're the most difficult. If you can understand the concept on canning the pumpkins, the pears would follow, and then your berries. The distinction on the pumpkins is that they're kind of a low acid, so they don't have a built-in sterilizer. And apples and pears are kind of the same way. Tomatoes are high in acid, and we can tomatoes a lot, so you know they're a little more forgiving.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to take your apples and your pears, and especially your pumpkins, remove the rinds, cut them into cubes, and then you're going to blanch that stuff for 2 minutes, right? So that's just exposing it to boiling water for 2 minutes. You're going to place them in this jar using the funnel or the spoon. Don't touch.
Don't touch.
Don't want your skin and your fingernail stuff in there, none of that.
Gross.
And then after that stuff is in there, minus any gross stuff, fill the jar an inch from the top. Pinch of salt, drop a citrus juice from a lime or a lemon, some honey, sterilize it for 15 minutes in the pressure cooker, and you're done.
Okay, thank you so much, Murph, for that. If you've got a gardening question or problem that you'd like Murph to tackle, go to our website, wglt.org/grow. Send it along to us. Submit those questions at wglt.org/grow.